say. Matthew 10:28. Now this is the Lord saying this. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. According to history, Fox's Book of Martyrs, it tells us about better than 50 million who gave their lives rather than to bow down and close their lips to the authorities that were arraigned against the truth and the gospel. Daniel 3:15-18. We studied this sometime past in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now they disobeyed the rule of the king, the law of the Medes and Persians, which couldn't be altered. But they were looking to the command of God above the command of man. And listen to this. If it be so, in other words, if it has to come, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, he's just simply saying it's his will to deliver us out of your hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now I call that faithfulness to God. See also 6:10 of Daniel. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. And we've studied about that. It's the why that he did that. You remember Solomon, the prayer of dedication. He said, if any of thy people pray toward this house or this city, this temple, hear thou from heaven. And Daniel prayed with an open window facing the temple in Jerusalem. Acts 4:18-20, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I think they've got a great reward waiting. They haven't received it yet because they haven't been raised. I don't want to be critical, but something I'd like to correct. Very often you hear people refer to the dead. They've gone to their reward. They've not. They haven't received it yet. The rewards will be given out at the judgment, at the resurrection. Fourth point. Who is the only Lord of the conscience and the prince of the kings of the earth? See Matthew 23:10. Ye have one master. even Christ. Romans 14:4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? The rest of that verse of scripture said, to his own master he standeth or falleth. Revelation 19:16, and he has on his vest and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now John saw that on the Isle of Patmos, the man on the white horse. And of course that was no one but Christ himself. Psalm 72:11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Psalms 2. And I want to read that. Psalms, the second division. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now that's well, Act 1, Romans 14:9-13. We don't want to leave it off. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We'll all answer to the high tribunal in heaven. The next one being the 17th article is short, and we're going to finish that one, of the righteous and the wicked. And we believe that there is a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked. That's point number one. That such only as true faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified by the Spirit of our God are truly righteous in His esteem, while all such as continue in intemperance and unbelief, I beg your pardon, I got the wrong word there, impenitence and unbelief, are in His sight wicked and under the curse. And this distinction holds among men both in and after death. Now the scriptures on that, number one, Malachi 3:18. Ye shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Proverbs 12:26. Isaiah 5:20. Genesis 18:23. Jeremiah 15:19. Acts 10:34-35. Romans 6:16. Here's your scripture. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I believe I know some of those folks. Genesis 18:23. And Abraham drew near and said, now this is at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the angels and Jesus himself visited Abraham. Now that was a pre-manifestation of Jesus. When Abraham sat in his tent door and three beings, three men, came to his tent door, and you remember what he did. He had his wife to bake a cake, bread, and bring it to them, and gave them a meal. But they were there to warn Abraham about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Two of those beings went on their way, and one tarried behind that never did get to Sodom, and that was Jesus. And he waited to talk to Abraham, knowing the integrity that Abraham had in his character and what he would be and what he would do. And he said, if you got anybody in Sodom, you better get them out. And you remember how Abraham pled with the Lord, if 50 righteous could be found in the city, would you spare it? He knew his nephew was over there, and he is still concerned about his nephew. Came right on down to 10. If 10 could be found, would you spare the city? The Lord said, yes. And you know, it gives me something to think about tonight, and should you? What percentage of this nation of ours is God-fearing people? What percent? Evidently, the percentage is great enough that God's still sparing this city and this country. And I believe that with all my heart. So we notice that this third person was caught away. He never did enter Sodom. Two angels did. And Lot had lived in such a way, even though he was a believer, he didn't have any influence with his own children. When he went to warn them of the destruction that had been, he had been warned about, they thought he was mocked. Didn't have any confidence in him. They led him out of the city and told him not to look back.